Thanks so much for tuning into this message today. My name is Pastor Joey McLaughlin, and the heartbeat of Elevate City Church is to help people know Jesus, follow Jesus, and lead others to do the same. And we spend seasons focusing on those three ideas, and right now we're in a follow season. We want to help you follow Jesus like never before, help you live in his ways and practice his teachings. And so in this next message, that's what you're going to discover, how to be a disciple who makes disciples for Jesus. If this message is inspiring for you, we would love it if you'd hit that subscribe button so you can get the most up-to-date Elevate City content. And you can also give in the link below to get this message in front of more people. My prayer is that you are inspired and challenged today. Be blessed.
Hey, whether you're here in the room or you're tuning in online, I'm excited that you're here, and I believe that Jesus has something he wants to do in each of our hearts and our lives today. If we haven't met yet, my name is Joe. I'm one of the pastors here at Elevate City, and today we're continuing in this collection of messages called Eyes on the Shepherd. Let me hear you say, Eyes on the Shepherd. Eyes on the Shepherd. And last week, Pastor Joey introduced us to this idea that we are like sheep in need of a shepherd, and that Jesus is the good shepherd that we need in this life. You know, we need to be led. You know, if we go through life on our own without having someone to lead and guide us and direct us, man, we're going to make mistake after mistake after mistake. Why? Because life is hard. Life is difficult. Life can be challenging. And what we know to be true is that where your eyes go, your mind goes, and where your mind goes, your life tends to go. Have you ever heard these words before? Watch where you're going. Watch where you're going. Like, I feel like I say these words like 50 times a day to my kids. If I don't say watch where you're going to my kids, Hudson, he'll run into a wall, and Hadley, she'll fall down the stairs. Like, it's so important that if we're keeping our eyes where we're intending to go. Have you ever been driving down the road and you see a pothole? Which in this area, I have noticed lately, y'all, there are potholes everywhere in this area. This city is crazy. We need some people to fix some roads. But anyways, as you're driving down the road, what you see, a pothole, and your eyes start to look at that pothole, and your mind starts to think about that pothole, and you're telling yourself, don't hit that pothole, and then what happens? You hit that pothole, and you pop your tire. Have you ever heard this? Keep your eyes on the prize. Your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the ball. When you're playing golf, how many of y'all know this? When you get up to that tee box and you come to that tee box and you see that there is a pond right in front of you, and you start to see that pond, and you're telling yourself in your mind, don't hit it in that pond, don't hit it in that pond. And you go up there and you swing. Your ball is going in the pond. About a year ago, Thomas Cheeseman and I, we were playing golf, and we were playing early in the morning, and we got paired up with this older gentleman, and we start to talk with him and ask him what he does, and he's like, well, I just retired. And I was like, okay, cool. I was like, where are you from? And he said, D.C. I was living in D.C., and I was like, all right. And I was like, where did you retire from? And he said, the U.S. Army. And I was like, okay, cool. And he said, yeah, I retired as a general in the U.S. Army. And I was like, okay, wow, big deal. And he was like, yeah, I was an Army Ranger for like 30 years too. And I was like, okay, big deal. And we're playing golf, and let me tell you, we get to this par five, and I tee off, and I pull the ball all the way to the side. The opposite side of the fairway is where the cart path is, and Thomas and I go over to my ball, and this guy's like pretty good at golf, and so he's hitting it long and straight. And so he just pulls up on the cart path a little bit ahead of us, way out of the way, and he's off to the side, and I'm over here by my ball, and I pull up to my ball, and I look out, and I see the green is over here, and then I notice he's over here in his cart, and I look down at my ball, and I look at the green, but then at the last second, I look over at his cart, and I was like, no, don't think about that. And sure enough, I take my 7-iron and I pull back and I swing. And let me tell you, there are worse people. There is no one worse to hit your ball at in this world than someone that just finished telling you that he knows how to kill people. Worse than any movie we've ever seen. He is descriptive. And I was like, I am so sorry. It hits his cart. It flies off to the side. It was a bad day, y'all. But listen, where your eyes go, your mind goes, and your life goes. And today we're going to be looking at one of, if not the most popular, most quoted, most read chapters of the entire Bible, and it's Psalm 23. We read it at the beginning of the service. You got it printed on a card at your seat, and this psalm, it's referred to as the Shepherd's Psalm or Song, and these words are carved into prison walls. And these words are so popular that they're hung all throughout hospital halls. They are quoted by the living and they are uttered by the dead. You've seen these words baked on coffee cups. You've seen these words plastered all throughout Hobby Lobby. You have probably heard these words. They've been prayed over you since you were just a little fetus. Your grandma definitely has Psalm 23 memorized. And these words aren't just words that are spoken in churches, but these words have actually influenced culture and music for years and years. Composers like Bach have set music to these words. Pink Floyd, Duke Ellington, The Grateful Dead, even Eminem and Coolio's song Gangstas and Paradise references Psalm 23 and the words that are in this psalm. Presidents have quoted this psalm. It's in movies, in literature, TV shows, and in commercials. And I'd want to ask this question though. Why do you think this psalm is so popular? Why do you think we're so drawn to these words? Why do you think that people, doesn't matter your background in church or not, are drawn to what David writes here in Psalm 23? I believe it's because we're so fascinated with the imagery and the quality of life that King David writes of and speaks of in Psalm 23. That it paints this picture for how life could look like, how we could see life in such a way that we just want it. We just want these words to be true of our lives. And so we're going to read it. Psalm 23. I'm reading now the ESV. Says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. For even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Doesn't that just feel like fresh breath in your lungs? Fresh air in your lungs? Don't you just wish that somehow this is how you could see all of life? This psalm is not just a metaphor to make you happy, more than words just to be placed in a frame. This is a filter for how we should see all of life. So if you're taking notes, the title for our message today is Psalm 23. You can write it at the top. Psalm 23, the shepherd that you need. I'm going to give a little disclaimer today, okay? We are doing a little bit of an old school Bible study in today's message tonight, okay? I wanted so hard to try to just pick like one or two verses and just bring you this very creative message and for tonight. And honestly, as I kept going through this, there were parts of this that I was like, we're not going to have time for this. We're not going to be able to fit all this in. And the Holy Spirit was just convicting me saying, you know what? You need to go through all of Psalm 23 with your church. Your church needs this. There's someone in the room that needs each and every word in this psalm. And so we're going to be going through it. So if you're taking notes, we're going to break it down verse by verse, line by line tonight. And the first five words, though, set the stage for how Psalm 23 goes. It's the most important words written in Psalm 23 happen in the first five words. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd." If you got your Bible out, underline that word, "my." Write a circle around it, "my." See, here's the reality. None of Psalm 23 will be true of your life apart from the Lord being your shepherd. Apart from him being your shepherd, you will not experience the blessing and the joy and the beauty that is described in Psalm 23. In order to see all of this, we have to see Jesus as the good shepherd, the shepherd for our souls, the Lord of our life. See, Psalm 23, it was written by David, and most of the people forget that David, before he was ever a king, before he ever wore a crown of gold, he carried a wooden staff as a shepherd. Before he was ever this great warrior that the Bible speaks of, he wandered about with the sheep that he was charged to take care of. And King David was not just a shepherd when he wrote this psalm. David was actually a king. He had moved into a new position in his life. And this is important for us to understand, because when he's writing this, it's not like he's out in a field just kind of picking on a banjo and he starts to write these words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It's not like he's just out in the middle of nowhere. No. He is in a place, a position of kingship in this moment. And he writes these words saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." And what that means for you and I today, why that's so important for us to know and to realize, is that there will never be a point in your life where you graduate from your need to be shepherded, from your need to have a shepherd that leads you and guides you. There's no position, there's no stage or phase of your life that you'll find yourself in where you're like, I'm good. I don't need someone to lead me. I don't need a shepherd any longer. If King David, with all of his power, with all of his might, with armies at the command of his words, just he needs a shepherd, and if he does, we do too. It's this reminder. There's no level of success that will keep you from needing a shepherd. See, without being led, sheep, they end up dead. It's true. Like sheep, they aren't very smart. Like Joey talked about last week, without a shepherd, they won't sleep properly. They won't eat properly. They'll be scared of water even at times. They'll be attacked by snakes and by lions and by bears, by thieves. They'll take them. If sheep don't have a shepherd to follow, they'll just follow something else and they'll just wander off, and many times even wander off of a cliff. See, the challenge of Psalm 23 is that we can read it and we can get excited about it and we can feel like, yes, this is what we want to be true of our lives. But without actually submitting to the shepherd, we miss out on everything else that is to follow. You realize we follow shepherds all the time? We follow secondhand shepherds, whether we realize it or not, bloggers, celebrities, podcasters, politicians, news anchors, authors and speakers, and of course, influencers. We allow people to not just speak into our lives, but to shape our lives all the time. You may think that you're just laughing at this funny video. You may think that you're just consuming information. No, you are being shepherded. You are being led by people all of the time. And you need more than a secondhand shepherd. You need Jesus to be your shepherd, to lead you and to guide you, because he and he alone can satisfy the longings of your heart. David continues, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Let me ask you, what is it that you want? What is it that drives your life and fuels your soul? What is it that you wake up in the morning thinking about and go to bed dreaming of? What is it that consumes your thoughts and moves your heart? Is it success? Is it the hope of a future spouse? Is it approval? Is it stuff? Is it happiness? Is it sex? Is it significance? Is it materialism? Like, would that new pair of GGs, Golden Gooses, make you happy? Would that be all that you want? For the guys with that new Ford Bronco, would that be all that you want? Would you be satisfied then? Would 5,000 followers, 10,000 followers, $100,000 in the bank be all that you want? See, what we have to realize is that we are spiritual beings living in earthly bodies. And our bodies are after the things of this world, but our spirits, our souls are longing for something better, longing for something greater. We are longing for communion with God, the God that created us, the God that loves us. See, the reality is that we'll always find ourselves wanting more in this life until we realize that Jesus is ultimately the more that we've been created for. See, when our eyes are on the shepherd, our desire for the things of this world will eventually dissolve. I love how the New English, how the NIV says this. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I lack nothing. I lack no good thing." What David is saying is that with the Lord as your shepherd, you're not going to lack a thing. Like, Jesus is enough, period. Like, you can put a period there. We can put a bow on this. We can go home. We can be done. The rest is just dessert. Like, this is the main point. He's saying that Jesus is more than enough for you. He's ultimately all that you need. But the question is, like, why do we still want, though? Like, if I can be honest, I love Jesus. I really love Jesus, but there are still some things that I want in this life. Like, I really want a fourth bedroom in my house. When Leslie and I are getting ready, every day I say, I really want a double vanity sink. Like, God, if you could just give me one extra sink, I mean, I would be happy. That's really what I want right now. I mean, a basement would be cool too. I really love the new Toyota Tundra. Like, that would be great too. Like, there are so many things that I want in this life. And what David's saying is not that you're no longer gonna want the things of this world. No, that's crazy. We are still living in a fallen world. We are still selfish and stained by sin. We still are prideful. We still want things. Our flesh still craves things. And so part of this life is this battle between our spiritual souls and our earthly longings and our fleshly desires. And what David is saying here is you're going to lack no good thing if the Lord is your shepherd. You may want other things, but you will really lack nothing. I love how the NLT says, I have all that I need. It's all that you need is found in Jesus. Listen, Jesus isn't the shepherd that just gives you what you want. So many people are just looking for someone to follow someone. I want to follow someone that'll just give me what I want. No, Jesus is the shepherd who is what you need. He is who you need. He is the shepherd that you need. He is the shepherd that also gives you the things that you need. And sometimes what you need is rest. David continues on, he says, he, my shepherd, makes me lie down in green pastures. One thing we've got to understand is that there is a cadence to following Jesus. I think so many times we under-spiritualize the everyday. I'm not trying to over-spiritualize it today, but one of the things I want to point out for us is so oftentimes in life when we're running and going and moving and shaking and then all of a sudden something happens in our lives where we have to sit down, where we have to lie down for a little bit. We think that it's just the circumstances of our day, but what if in your life, the moments where you feel like you are just crippled, brought to your knees in need of just laying down, what if that's your shepherd that's actually making you do that? Like in the times in your life where you feel stressed out, maxed out, worn out, and then all of a sudden, something happens and you're in your bed. Something happens and you can't move like you thought you were. That trip got canceled. That job that you thought you were getting got postponed. Something got pushed back and you're all upset and you're all mad. What if in that moment it's actually your shepherd who makes you lie down? He says he makes me lie down because on our own, like we ain't lying down. Like I got things to do, right? You got things to do. You got places to be, people to see. You got money to make. We're trying to do some things. And yet oftentimes the shepherd is the one who makes us lie down. When I was a student pastor, it seemed like I always would get sick leading up to a retreat. Like I didn't get sick after the retreat, which is what you would think, like mold, just germs everywhere, like all that, like you're drinking random stuff on stage with kids. Like it's for games, okay? But oftentimes what would happen, and it was leading up to the retreats, is when I would get sick. And I'll never forget 2 years ago, it was January 2020, and leading up to our winter retreat, I was getting ready for everything that was to happen, and I was getting games together and messages together, and I was ordering 10,000 balloons, because you always need 10,000 balloons for a student retreat, and I was trying to get together t-shirts and make sure that all the services would flow right, and all the different things, and I felt all this weight and all this pressure, and I'll never forget, the week of the retreat comes, and it feels like things are finally starting to come together, and then I get sick. Like, and I'm talking really sick. Like one of those six, like where I was shivering so much that I went upstairs, put on like 5 sweatshirts, I put on sweatpants and 3 pairs of socks, and I rolled up in my down comforter in my bed and just let myself just freeze to death. I was so sick, and I had a cough worse than I ever had a cough before. I had these weird aches, and what I'm looking back now, I'm like, I had the vid before the vid was the vid, you know? Before Tom Hanks even got the vid, Joe Baker got the vid, okay? But what was happening, though, looking back now, I was so frustrated in that season. I was like, God, why would you let this happen? There's so much that needs to get done. But looking back now, what I can see is it was my shepherd who was making me lie down. And he had to make me lie down to remind me that he is ultimately what I need. He is who I need. I can try to do all these things by my own, but I will never do something of significance without my shepherd leading me. I needed him. I needed to be reminded of that. See, so many times we get mad at God when things go out of whack, when our plans don't work out. But what we need to start to do is maybe ask, hey, what blessing might God be wanting to bring to my life right now? What might he be wanting to do in my soul right now by making me lie down? See, sheep don't lie down when they're hungry to eat. They need a shepherd to make them lie down. And nor will they drink water if they approach a stream that is too crazy. See, one of the things that shepherds oftentimes would do is as sheep would approach water, if the water was moving, and sheep would get a little anxious. And so what shepherds would do oftentimes is they would go and they would dam up a stream to slow down the water, to make the water easier and more approachable for the sheep to come and take a drink. And that leads us to our next line of Psalm 23. He leads me beside still waters. See, our hope in following the shepherd is that he can take the chaos of our lives and bring it all still to a place of peace. See, Jesus, he actually taught his disciples this lesson quite literally. One day, Jesus leads his disciples out into a boat and he leads them into a storm. And when the storm comes, the waves and the waters and the wind are just wreaking havoc on the boat. And his disciples start freaking out and they're like, we're gonna die. Where's Jesus? And so they're looking, scrambling, trying to find Jesus. And all of a sudden they find Jesus down in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They wake Jesus up. Jesus, Jesus, help us. And what does Jesus do? Jesus stands up. He looks at the wind and the waves and he says, peace, be still. Jesus is the shepherd that can take the chaos of our world, the chaos of our days, and he can cause it all to be still in a moment. He's the only shepherd that can do that. He is the shepherd that you need. Do you ever feel like your day is just a little too busy? Do you ever feel like your day is just getting away from you? What if in that moment you would stop and you would be still and you say, Jesus, I need you right now. Jesus, help me right now. I can't come and get what I need. I can't approach this water that I need right now because I need you to bring stillness. Next line, he restores my soul. We have to remember we are spiritual beings in earthly bodies, and what we need more than self-care is we need soul care. We need spiritual nourishment in this life. In the Hebrew, this is a picture of what it looks like to bring back to liveliness. The prophet Isaiah, when he writes and he uses this word restore, he is describing a restoration of a house that's been demolished. Picture that in your life, that Jesus can restore even something that has been demolished. He wants to take back everything that the pressures and the pain of this world has put on your shoulders, and he wants to pull out the original beauty that he's created in you. See, what if when you look back over the past 2 years that have been wild, what if you could realize that Jesus wants to restore things in you? All of the pain, all of the heartbreak, all of the job loss and transition and sickness, all of that. What if he's wanting to restore, to pull out, and to bring healing? See, with Jesus as our shepherd, he can lead us to spaces that can revitalize the places of our lives that have ceased to flourish. Jesus and Jesus alone can inject life where death has reigned. Jesus and Jesus alone can build up what has been torn down. Jesus and Jesus alone is the peace that our hearts most desperately crave. And a secondhand shepherd won't do. Jesus alone. See, the reality is that your to-do list, they're never going to be finished. There's always going to be more work that needs to get done. There's no magical finish line that one day in your life, all of a sudden, everything's going to be okay and you're never going to have to worry anymore about anything and you're never going to have somewhere you need to be. No, that's not going to happen. But what needs to happen is that we come to our shepherd. Jesus writes Matthew 11. He says, come to me. Come to me. Approach me. All who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what?
Rest.
Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen, real rest only comes through coming to Jesus. In your stress, in your striving, in your study, you surrender to the shepherd in the midst of that, trusting that Jesus is enough. He is enough. He also leads us in paths of righteousness. He leads me in paths of righteousness. See, the path that Jesus will lead you on may not be the easiest way. It may not be the sexiest way. It may not be the most convenient way. It may not be the most prosperous way, but it will be the best way. It will be the right way. And it's the way that leads to life. Jesus says in Matthew 7, he says this, he says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. But check this out. This is our hope. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. But Jesus is that gate. In John 10, Jesus talks about how he is the gate for the sheep. He is the gate that anyone that enters through him will find life, and life abundantly. You can live your life your way, or you can live life the shepherd's way. But your way, you want to know what your way gets you? Just turn on the news. Just flip through that magazine when you're at Publix next time, in the line checking out. That's what your way will get you. But Jesus' way is full of life. We've got to be careful who we're following and where they are leading us. In every decision that you ask yourself, you need to ask yourself this question. In every decision that you make, you need to ask yourself this question. Who or what is leading me? Like, what's driving this decision? Is my pride driving this decision? Is my selfishness driving this decision? Are my lusts driving this decision? When you find yourself at a crossroads and you're making a decision about that job, or if you're going to move, or should you stay here? Should you say yes, or should you no, say no? Should you go? Like, when you find yourself at that crossroads, you need to ask yourself, what's motivating me? What's leading me right now? Am I following my shepherd, or am I following someone else? See, Jesus offers us a better way to live. A better way to do life. See, what we're offering people isn't self-help steps, it's a shepherd help solution. He is enough, and you're invited to experience the life that he has for you. Here's the next thing. The next thing, though, is that your life is not about you. He says, for his name's sake. For his name's sake. Yeah. Why did he lead you there? Why did he bring you to that place? Why did he shut that door? It's all for his name's sake. It's about getting your eyes to see Jesus in whatever stage or whatever place of your life. And what we have to be reminded of in Psalm 23 is that this psalm is not about us. It's not about the sheep. It's about the shepherd. It's about the Lord. Your life is not made to be about you. And living with that belief that it's all about you is a stressful way to live. And so could it be that the reason your life isn't going the direction that you dreamed it would be heading is because somewhere along the line you got your priorities out of whack and you started to believe that life is all about me and making me happy. And so you started to make decisions based on that belief. But then what you've got to realize is that when you find yourself in a dark place and you start to blame God, could it be that it's your decisions, it's your sin, it's your false belief about who he is and who he's created you to be that have brought you to that place? See, Colossians 1:16 says, for by Jesus, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. The primary purpose of our lives is to glorify Jesus. Your life was created by him and it was created for him. It's about the one who can lead you through every season, every area of your life. And then I love how David, he makes a shift in his writing here. He says, Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Listen, our hope in times of darkness is not the resolution of our circumstances, it's the presence of God. It's that he is with us. Listen, we're gonna find ourselves in valleys. We're gonna find ourselves in places of our lives where things aren't working out like we had hoped. But our the promise that David is talking about here is God's presence with us. That a valley is coming, but he's going to be with us in that valley. See, King David, he experienced a lot of valleys in his life. He knows what it's like to be picked last. He knows what it's like to be looked over. He knows what it's like to be the littlest guy out there. He knows what it's like to be voted the least likely to succeed. King David, he knows what it was like to be doubted, to wrestle with his identity. He literally faced a giant on a battlefield as he was put out there almost as like a human sacrifice. He knows what it's like to be hunted by his own king. He knows what it's like to be chosen to be king, but then have to wait to be in that position and wait and wait and wait. He knows what it's like to lose a best friend, Jonathan, his best friend. He knows what it's like to lose a son and have to pray and fast and beg and plead with God to save him. He went through valleys of failure. He went through valleys of fear. And in everything and in all of that, he writes these words. He says, even though I'm in a valley, my God has not left me. Hallelujah. Even though, he says, I will fear no evil, for my shepherd is near. And I love right here, David, he shifts. Rather than talking about God, he starts to shift and talk to God. This is so good for us to understand because so many times in our lives, we want to talk about God to someone else. We want to talk about our situation to someone else. Before even coming to God and asking for his help, we've already told everyone else. We've already posted on our Instagram story. We've already asked for all these other people to pray for us and to move for us. But we haven't yet come to God and asked him and talked to him and begged for him to move on our behalf. How do you keep your eyes on Jesus in every season? It's through prayer. Our aim in every season should be to pursue God's presence in prayer. God's presence is the solution to your longings. Our call is not just to seek deliverance from our situations, but it's to seek the one who delivers. That in every season of our lives, we're like, I need to get my eyes on the shepherd. Jesus, I'm coming to you. I'm approaching you as my shepherd. And where the enemy is trying to feed my fears, where the enemy is trying to get me to doubt your nearness, to doubt who you are, to doubt that you are close, I'm going to come to you and approach your presence and talk to you. Talk to God. The word David uses here is Jehovah Shema. Jehovah Shema. And this is so powerful for us because what it means is the Lord is there. The Lord is there. Where is he? He's there. He's in the middle of whatever you're going through. He's there. He's moving, he's directing, and he is defending. Which leads us to the next line of Psalm 23. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Sheep are defenseless animals. They're prone to get lost. They need almost constant care. You can't drive sheep like you do with cattle. They have to be led. And so enter the rod and staff. A shepherd's rod is there to defend us, and the staff is there to direct us in our lives. See, this is the kind of shepherd that you need, the kind of shepherd that when you're wandering off doesn't just say, okay, cool, choose your own path. No, he is the shepherd that will direct you and to correct you and to lead you to a better place. Lead you to the place that you need to be. And then he continues on. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Notice here, David, he's still talking to God. He hasn't moved from that. He hasn't shifted from that. He's just talking to God. And in this moment, he's saying that even on a battlefield, I can eat with and I can dine with my shepherd. See, here's the reality. God may not remove your enemies from your life, but he'll give you the covering you need to sit and enjoy his blessings, even in the presence of danger. That even when it feels like you're surrounded, he has laid out a spread and he's invited you to the table and he's pulling out a seat for you and he's saying, will you come and sit with me? Remember that I'm near. Remember that I'm close. See, oil in the Bible is used as a way of setting apart, a way of consecrating, a way of bestowing blessing and honor. And one of the things that shepherds would do is the sheep would come back into the fold every night. They would look over the sheep and they would make sure that they got what they needed for the day. They would check to make sure that they hadn't been hurt, that they hadn't eaten anything poisonous, and they would then begin to apply oil over the shepherd's horns and or over the sheep's horns, and they would do this to keep flies away, to keep other insects away. And then what they would do is they would take a two-handled cup, this big cup, and they would give it to their sheep as a drink, as a something for them to revive their souls. And it continues on. He says, "My cup overflows." David says, "My cup overflows." God's blessing on his people remain with them no matter what their circumstances may be. I need you to know God has not forgotten you. God has not lost you somewhere along the way. It's not like he has lost sight of you in this life and is trying to find you right now and figure out where you are. No, God knows where you are. He sees you right now in this moment. There is never a time that he does not recognize you and that he does not know your need for him. John 10:10, Jesus speaking, he says, "The thief's purpose in this life is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose," speaking of the sheep, "is to give them a rich and satisfying life." And he says these words, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep." What we have to understand is that Jesus is ultimately the cup that overflows. Jesus is who we come to and experience the fullness, the blessings of this life. His promise is that not that you won't ever stumble. His promise is not that you won't ever find yourself surrounded. It's that when you feel yourself surrounded by your enemies, you can be confident knowing that you have a shepherding Savior, the good shepherd who is unlike any other shepherd that this world has to offer, who has come to lay down his life for his sheep. And then David continues, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." I love this right here. Here's the beauty of keeping your eyes on the shepherd. It's that as you chase after Jesus, goodness and mercy are chasing after you. When you're following the shepherd, you can know that goodness and mercy are right behind you. They're coming after you. Goodness and mercy. See, David messed up in his life a lot. He made a lot of mistakes. I don't know what mistakes you've made, but in Jesus, goodness and mercy, they're right behind. Goodness and mercy are following you. Goodness and mercy are chasing you down, and God wants you to know and to recognize your need for him. And he's coming behind you saying, "I know your mistakes. I know the times that you've messed up, but would you just come to me?" Jesus says in John 16:33, he says, "I've told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. For here on this earth, you'll have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world." Putting your eyes on Jesus as your shepherd doesn't mean that the troubles of your life aren't going to find you. It means that when they do, and they surely will, you can remember that Jesus has overcome. And since he has overcome, you can rest and know and believe that he is enough for your life. I love what one theologian says. He says, "The things that perplex and disturb us today will all be clear when we get to heaven. We'll look back and we'll see only goodness and mercy following us." As the Apostle John has this vision of the end times, this vision of what it's going to be like when we're reunited with our shepherd forever in heaven. He says this in Revelation 7. He says, "For the Lamb is in the midst of the throne, and he will be their shepherd. And he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." It's what our shepherd does. The beauty of Jesus is that he's the lamb that laid down his life, and he's the shepherd who leads us. And then the psalm wraps up, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." See, Psalm 23 actually ends where it all started. It's all about the shepherd. It's all about him. It's all about his presence. It's all about following him, that we're pursuing him, that we're on our way to reuniting with him forever. It's all about the shepherd. And keeping your eyes on Jesus today is just practice for eternity. It's just practice for what we're going to be doing for all of eternity. It's not happenstance that David ends this psalm this way. It's that he wants us to be reminded of this reality that It's all about coming to God. It's all about approaching his throne. David writes later on in Psalm 27, "One thing I have asked of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." He's saying, he's enough. If I can come and be with my God, that is enough. I want to close with this. In 2005, 60 Minutes did an interview with Tom Brady after he won his third Super Bowl. And it's weird today, like we're watching the Super Bowl tonight and Tom Brady isn't in it. And they do this interview with Tom Brady and they're talking with him and asking him a bunch of questions about him reaching the top and how he's accomplished all of this at such a young age. And listen to what Tom Brady says. You can start it over.
And still think there's something greater. Y'all can start it over. Why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey man, this is what it is. I reached my goal, my dream, my life is me. I think, God, it's gotta be more than this. I mean, this can't be what it's all cracked up to be. I mean, I've done it, I'm 27, and what else is there for me?
There's gotta be more than this. Isn't that so? How so many of us approach life? Like we're striving for something, and when we finally get it, we ask ourselves, was that it? Was that it? Here's the beauty of following Jesus as your shepherd, is that there's never going to be a moment where you're going to find yourself saying, there's got to be more than this. There's never going to be a moment when you stand before the throne of God and when we stand in eternity and we gaze upon his beauty, there's never going to be a moment where we say, there's got to be more than this. No, Jesus is enough for us. We are going to find ourselves just overcome with his glory, overcome with his goodness, overcome with how he has lavished us with love, with how he has pursued us, with how he has chased after us, for how he has welcomed us home with him forever. Listen, Jesus is the shepherd that you're looking for. Jesus is the more that you're looking for in this life. When you find yourself in a crossroads where you're like, I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do next. I don't know if what I'm living for really matters. There's never going to be a moment where you're living for Jesus and you say, I don't think that this matters. No, life lived for Jesus matters forever. It echoes in eternity. He's enough. He's the shepherd that you need. Let's pray. God, I'm grateful. Jesus, I'm grateful for the hope that you give us. Jesus, I'm grateful that you are the good shepherd that cares for us, that leads us, that guides us and directs us. And I'm grateful, Jesus, that you are the Lamb of God that laid down his life so that we could be forgiven of our sin. God, so that we could be set free from addiction, so that we can be set free from the pressures and the pain of this world, but that we can find hope in you, Jesus, in you alone. God, you're good. God, we're grateful for the words that you have written for us in Psalm 23. God, for the way that you're calling us to return to our shepherd, to follow you, Jesus, to chase after you. God, I pray for the person in this room that doesn't yet know you. God, for the person in this room that's been striving, that's been searching for answers, that's been searching for meaning, that's been searching for purpose, that's been longing for something more and hasn't yet found it. I pray, Jesus, in this moment that they would see that you are what they've been looking for. God, that you're enough, that you are all that their heart has been searching for in this life. I want to give a moment now for anyone in this room, and maybe you're here and you've never made a decision to trust in Jesus before. And as we pray, I just want to give you an opportunity to respond to the gospel that there is a God that created you and loves you. And God is so good. But there is a problem. It's that we have sinned. It's that we have fallen short. It's that we have disobeyed God. We have broken God's heart and broken his commands and tried to do life our way. But there is hope, and his name is Jesus, that the good shepherd lay down his life so that his sheep can follow him and be forgiven of their sin. And there's a response to surrender your life. And if you're here today and you've never made a decision to trust in Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity right now. With every eye closed and head bowed, I just want to give you this opportunity. You can pray this prayer. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I want to follow you. Jesus, I believe that you died for me. Jesus, I believe that you rose for me. Jesus, I'm trusting in you as the Lord of my life, the shepherd of my soul. I want to walk with you all the days of my life. Forgive me of my sin. Make me new. If that's you and you prayed that prayer for the first time, God's word says that for anyone who confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believes in their heart that he rose from the dead, then they will be saved. And if you made that decision today, I want to give you a moment, opportunity to mark this moment, and you can raise your hand in just a moment. I'm going to count to three, and I would love for you to mark that moment to say, hey, God, I'm making a decision right now. I'm putting a flag in the ground to say I'm living for Jesus from here on out. And so if that's you, I want to give you that opportunity. You can raise your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. You can raise your hand saying, I want to follow Jesus as the shepherd of my life today. Amen. Amen. Jesus, we love you so much. We're grateful for you. Jesus, help us to keep our eyes on you. No matter what season we're in, no matter where we find ourselves, that we would follow you, Jesus, as the shepherd of our lives. We pray all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen.